He's trying to bring back the nickel soda pop. He's Jason Kirkman from southern New Mexico's Tularosa Basin with great music and family-styled entertainment. He's right here and he's right now on the Jason Kirkman Show.
Well, I'm back and I'm ready for some action. You are now listening to the Jason Kirkman Show. That's me, Jason Kirkman. I just happen to be lucky enough to be that guy. I am the guy who longs for the nickel soda pop. It's not just the cold, refreshing drink, but the concept about the way of life we used to live here in America. And I'm coming to you from Studio 312 in the beautiful and sunny Tularosa Basin of southern New Mexico. It's where the women are beautiful and the men are finely groomed. Well, most of us anyway. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this great hour of nostalgic music, comedy, and all the fun you can soak in right here on the Jason Kirkman Show.
I saw her standing on the corner. Won't you, won't you? A yellow ribbon in her hair. Won't you, won't you? I couldn't keep myself from shouting. Well, oh, look at that.
Look at that.
No, look at that.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, young blood. Young blood. I tried to walk, but I was lame. I tried to talk, but I just stood it. Now, what's your name?
What's your name?
No, what's your name?
Oh, what's your name?
Young blood. Young. I tried to follow her all the way home. When things went bad, I met her dad. He said,
"You better leave my daughter alone."
Well, I couldn't sleep a wink for crying.
Won't you, won't you?
I saw the rising of the sun.
Won't you, won't you?
When all night long my heart was crying. Now you're the one.
You're the one.
No, you're the one.
You're the one.
Oh. Young blood. Young blood. Young blood. Well, I can't get you out of my mind. Young blood. Young blood. Young blood. Well, I
That was the Coasters with Young Blood. Here's the Tokens with Tonight I Fell in Love.
Dum dooby dum bo, dooby dooby dum dum bo, dooby dooby dum dooby dum bo. Tonight I fell in love.
So fast, I pray that it will last till the end of time.
here's Carl Perkins. He's the man who wrote the song with Blue Suede Shoes.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but get off of my blue suede shoes. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of my shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes. My house, steal my car, drink my liquor from my old fruit jar, do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of them shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes. Rock! For the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah! Blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes.
Honeybees are the only insects that produce food eaten by man. And honey is the only food that includes all of the substances necessary to sustain life, including enzymes, vitamins, minerals, and water. It's the only food that contains an antioxidant associated with improved brain functioning. So grab yourself a piece of toast and spread on a little honey. You're listening to The Jason Kirtman Show.
Sugar. Of loving you,
I just can't believe it's true.
I just can't believe the wonder of this feeling too.
I just can't believe it's true.
Ah, sugar. Over me.
Pour your sweetness over me.
Oh,
was the Archies with Sugar Sugar. Here's Little Richard with Money Honey.
Tell me what was on his mind. He says, money, honey, yeah. Money, honey. Woo-hoo. Money, honey. If you want to get along. Well, screaming fella, what's wrong with you? Hey, from this thing on, our romance is true. Said, tell me, baby, a day that's too late. Uh-huh. Could another man take my place? He says, money, honey.
In 1963, a commercial artist named Harvey Ball was hired to design a smiley face to make employees at the State Mutual Life Assurance Company just a little bit happier. That's according to World Smile Day. In about 10 minutes, Ball drew two dots and a smile into a yellow circle, and the smiley face was born. The company produced posters, buttons, and other materials with the intention of brightening up their employees' moods, not realizing that this motivational image would become a happy staple in our pop culture. Ball only received $45 for his design, according to the New York Times, and he never applied for a trademark or copyright. Bernard and Murray Spain drew up the smiley face in 1970. They added the words, "Have a happy day," and bought the legal rights to the image and the words, according to Business Insider. And that is how the smiley face was born.
Flopped down in my easy chair, and I turned on Channel 2. My back on swing, course, all the sound, but the taste of the cold sweet soup. He dropped down in the old sawmill and said, "What do you mean, my life?"
"Then you don't give me the deed to your ranch, I'll saw you all in half."
And then he grabbed her.
And then
he tied her up.
And then
he turned on the bus up.
And then
along came Joe. Tall Betty Joe. Slow walking Joe.
Slow talking Joe.
Along came Lonely Laggy Joe. Commercial came on, so I got up to get myself a snack. Should've seen what was going on by the time that I got back. Down in the old abandoned mine, Sweet Sue was having fit. That villain said,
"You don't give me the deed to your ranch, I'll blow you all to bits."
And then he grabbed her.
And then
he tied her up.
And then
he lit the fuse to the dynamite.
And then
along came Joe. Tall thin Joe.
Slow talking Joe.
Along came Lonely Laggy Joe.
same old shoot 'em up and the same old rodeo. Saw the samples trying to stuff Sweet Sue and the bird and sack. He said,
if you don't give me the deed to your ranch, I'm gonna throw you on the railroad track.
And then he grabbed her.
And then
he tied her up again.
And then
he throwed her on the railroad track.
And then
a train started coming.
And then
along came Joe. Tall, thin Joe. Slow walking Joe.
Slow talking Joe.
A long game, lonely, laggy Joe.
That was the Coasters with Along Came Jones, and here he is, Mr. Jones himself, Mr. George Jones, with White Lightning.
Well, down in Houston, Texas, way back in the hills, lived my pappy daily, and he had him a spill. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down. He'd fill him a jug, and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, pappy's going squeezing.
Shh. White lightning.
Well, a G-Men team in the revenues too. Searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my family kept a cooking.
Shoo. White lightning.
Well, I asked my pappy daily why he called his brew white light instead of Mountain Dew. I took a little sip and right away I knew, as my eyes bugged out and my face turned blue. Lightning started flashing, thunder started clashing. Shoo, my goodness.
White lightning.
Well, a G-Man team in the revenues too, searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him. Pappy kept a cooking.
Shoo. White lightning.
Well, the city's liquor came and he said, I'm tough. I think I wanna taste that powerful stuff. He took one for blood and drank it on down. I heard him a moaning as he hit the ground. Mighty, mighty pleasing, pepper's corn squeezing.
White lightning.
Well, a G-Men team in revenues too, searching for a place where it made his brew. They were looking, trying to book it. Pappy kept a cooking.
White lightning.
From a long time ago, here's Bob and Ray with a little comedy, The Home Handyman.
Now it's time once again to pick up some valuable tips for you home handymen as we pay another of our regular visits to the basement workshop of Fred Falvey, the do-it-yourselfer. And Fred, I'm glad I found you at home today. When I saw all those rolled-up newspapers out in your front yard, I was afraid you might be away on vacation.
No, Ray. I rolled up all those papers and scattered them around the yard about a week ago. It's part of a do-it-yourself project I'm involved in.
Well, I can't imagine what it is, Fred, unless it has something to do with all the burglars you'll attract by creating the impression that you're away from home.
No, I admit having all those rolled-up papers in the yard does attract a few prowlers who think the place is deserted, but what little they steal is more than offset by the money I save from leaving papers out there until they get good and soggy.
You just leave them out there in the rain and snow or whatever until it happens again?
Yes. You see, the idea is to let nature convert the newspapers back into wood pulp. Then you can burn them in the fireplace just like logs, only the cost is much less, of course.
Well, it certainly sounds like another wonderful example of better living by doing it yourself, Fred.
I think so.
How long does it take for the natural elements to turn newspapers back into wood pulp?
Well, I'm not really sure, Ray. I read in a book where it would take about 200,000 years for paper to become converted into coal, but I'm certain changing it into wood pulp wouldn't take near that long.
Well, then, I suppose it could even happen within our lifetime.
Oh.
It'll be a real money saver if it does,
too. If it does, right.
Now I know that all our beloved friends of the radio audience are anxious to hear about the do-it-yourself project that you've chosen to describe today.
Well, today I've chosen a real money-saving project to describe for our beloved friends of the radio audience. I'm sure most of us are aware that handmade lampshades have gone up in price faster than the general cost of living.
Well, no, I wasn't aware of that, Frank.
Most people are aware of it, Ray. However, it's not generally known that do-it-yourselfers can make lovely lampshades right in the basement workshop just using some inexpensive equipment and a few simple tools.
Well, I noticed that you have some blue paper stacked up here on the workbench. Is that what you're using for your lampshade project?
Yes. This paper is good, sturdy, 20-pound bond, Ray. Comes cut into 8.5 by 11 sheets as a rule, and the colors, these particular sheets, is blue.
So, what do you do after you've selected the color for your lampshade? Do you make some kind of a wire frame to, you know, stretch the paper across?
No, you don't have to get into all that. You just roll a sheet of paper into a sort of a paper cone, taking care to leave the small end large enough to fit around a bulb socket. And then you staple the edges of your paper together using an ordinary office stapler filled with number 5 wire staples. Here, I'll show you how it's done. Like that, and that.
Well, Fred is stapling along the edge of... He's stapling along the edge of his rolled-up sheet of paper. That certainly is making it stay in the conical shape you want. I don't quite know what you're going to do with it, though. What are you going to do with it now?
Well, the rest is actually easy, Ray. I just unscrew this bulb hanging down from the ceiling. Now I put my blue paper shade around the socket like this. And then as I screw the bulb back in, that holds my cone-shaped piece of paper where I want it. That's why I rolled the paper into a cone to make the shade in the first place so the bulb would hold it in place.
I see. Well, of course, this piece of blue paper you've stapled together makes a fine shade for a naked bulb hanging down from the ceiling, but there aren't many fixtures like that around anymore. What if you want a shade for a regular lamp?
Well, you can buy those at any lampshade store, Ray. It's the ones for those old-time ceiling fixtures that are hard to locate. I went to 6 or 7 stores and couldn't find one.
Well, then you can save time as well as money by making your own, if you happen to be one of those rare individuals with an old-time ceiling fixture. So we could certainly say that this is just one more prime example of how to live better by doing it yourself. And we've been privileged to hear all about it directly from the basement workshop of Fred Falvey, the do-it-yourselfer.
Recorded in 1958, here's Johnny Mathis with A Certain Smile.
A certain smile, a certain face can lead an unsuspecting heart on a merry chase. A fleeting glance can say so many lovely things. Suddenly you know why my heart sings. You love a while, and when love goes, you try to hide the tears inside with a cheerful pose. But in the hush of night, exactly like a bittersweet refrain, comes that certain smile to haunt your heart again. That certain smile to haunt your heart again.
Here are the Crystals with "And Then He Kissed Me."
Well, he walked up to me and he asked me if I wanted to dance. He looked kind of nice, and so I said I might take a chance. When he danced, he held me tight. When he walked me home that night, all the stars were shining bright, and then he kissed me. Each time I saw him, I couldn't wait to see him again. I wanted to let him know that he was more than a friend. I didn't know just what to do, so I whispered, "I love you." He said that he loved me too, and then he kissed me. He kissed me in a way that I'd never been kissed before. He kissed me in a way that I wanna be kissed forevermore. I knew that he was mine, so I gave him all the love that I had.
Been listening to the Jason Kirkman Show, and I really, really hope you're having fun. And don't forget to spend some quality time with the ones you love this week, especially those kids. When was the last time you planned a vacation with your family? Something to consider. I'd encourage you to plan a vacation that allows you and your family to soak in the natural beauty of the lands around you and the history too. Check out my website at www.jasonkirkman.com.
My baby left me. My baby even left me. Never said a word. Lord, I stand at my window, wring my hands and cry. I hate to lose that woman, hate to say goodbye. You know she left me. Yes, she left me. My baby even left me. Never said a word. Play it blues, boy. Baby, one of these mornings, Lord, it won't be long. You look for me, baby, and daddy will not know. You know you left me, you know you left me. My baby even left me, never said goodbye. Now I stand at my window, wring my hands and moan. All I know, not the one I love is gone. My baby left me, you know she left me. My baby.
Forcing yourself to smile can definitely boost your mood. Psychologists have found that even if you're in a bad mood, you can instantly lift your spirits by forcing yourself to smile. It also boosts your immune system. Smiling really can improve your physical health, too. Your body is more relaxed when you smile, which contributes to good health and a stronger immune system. Also, smiles are contagious. It's not just a saying. Smiling really is contagious, scientists say. In a study conducted in Sweden, people had difficulty frowning when they looked at other subjects who were smiling, and their muscles twitched into smiles all on their own. Smiles also relieve stress. Your body immediately releases endorphins when you smile, even when you force it. This sudden change in mood will help you feel better and release stress. And did you know it's easier to smile than to frown? Scientists have discovered that your body has to work harder and use more muscles to frown than it does to smile. It's also a universal sign of happiness. While handshakes, hugs, and bows all have varying meanings across cultures, smiling is known around the world and in all cultures as a sign of happiness and acceptance. Here's Fats Domino with Walkin' to New Orleans.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking the blue. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. And I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey till I lost all my money. No use for me to cry. I'll see you by and by. And I'm walking to New Orleans. And I got no time for talking. I've got to keep walking. The New Orleans is my home. That's the reason why I'm gone. As I'm walking to New Orleans, I'm walking to New Orleans. 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 I'm walking to New Orleans.
Babies learn a lot of behaviors and sounds from watching the people around them, but scientists believe that all babies, all of them, are born with the ability to smile, since even blind babies smile. Smiling helps you get promoted, too. It makes a person seem more attractive, more sociable and confident, and people who smile are more likely to get that promotion. Smiles are the most easily recognizable facial expression because smiles can be recognized from up to 300 feet away. And generally, women smile more than men. But when they participate in similar work or social roles, they smile about the same amount. This finding leads scientists to believe that gender roles are quite flexible. Baby boys, however, do smile less than girl babies. who also happen to make more eye contact. A research study discovered that 69% of people find women are more attractive when they smile than when they're wearing makeup.
We've been granted the first interview with this year's winner. It's right here with us, and your name is...
Fonstock P. Beaudry of Moline, Illinois.
Well, congratulations, Fonstock. Say, you must have been the first man to have ever won the most beautiful face contest, aren't you?
Yes, I believe I am. They've been relaxing the requirements this year.
The committee wanted me to remind you now of the obligations that you'll assume tomorrow when you're crowned. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, that you'll be traveling all next year, all over the country, showing your beautiful face in supermarkets and in fish stores and shopping malls and so forth.
I know. Will I be chaperoned on that tour?
Well, I'm sure you will. Incidentally, should you do anything to bring disgrace or cause public scorn to fall on the committee, contest, and or its sponsors, then your title will pass to the first runner-up.
I don't plan to do anything wrong.
Well, I know, but they couldn't take that chance. You know, looking at you there, you do have a nicely constructed face, you know?
Yes, my neatly chiseled features do stand out.
Classic Grecian, I'd say.
I'm told they're Roman.
Oh, really? I know your eyes are well set apart. Mm-hmm. Say, how do they judge this contest? Is it the whole body or just the head or what?
No, just the face.
Oh.
Right here from where the hair starts down to the point of the chin. Right in there.
The face is all
they don't care anything about the head. Uh-huh. They're even thinking of letting bald-headed guys in next year.
Is that right? Well, how'd you come by all this beauty?
Well, both my parents were pretty.
Uh-huh. You have any pretty brothers and sisters at home?
No, I'm a beautiful only child.
Are you the least bit, self-conscious, you know? I mean...
Embarrassed to be so beautiful?
Yeah, do you get embarrassed?
No, I'm used to it by now.
Do women stop and stare at your beautiful face on the street?
Yeah, sometimes, but I'm used to that, too.
Yeah. Well, now, look, as the possessor of a beautiful face, do you take any special precautions? I mean, like when you shave, for instance.
No, I use a fresh blade every day.
Uh-huh. Well, now, how about the cold weather? You must have some bitter days back there in Moline.
Well, we do. It's cold back there now.
What do? Put a muffler around your features to protect them from the cold, or what?
No, I just walk with my back to the wind most of the time.
Well, you know, Fonstock, this year, like all happy times, is going to race by for you. And I know it's been hectic for you these past few days, but have you given any thought to the future? Is it Hollywood, the movies, the TV? Would you like to be one of Charlie's Angels?
Well, I've thought about this life of glamour, tinsel and glitter and all that stuff, but I've decided against it. I'm going back to Moline, back to the post office. I don't want to be just one more beautiful face.
Wow. It's such a joy to talk to somebody who has their feet so well planted on the ground.
Well, thank you.
I want to wish you all the luck in the future, Fonstock, and it's been a pleasure talking to a gentleman like you.
Thank you very
really
much.
You have a beautiful face.
Truism.
Comedy from a long time ago, that was Bob and Ray with the most beautiful face winner. Here's Elvis Presley with Too Much Monkey Business.
Salesman talking to me, trying to run me up a creek. So you can buy it, go on, try it, you can pay me next week. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Blonde haired, good looking, trying to get me hooked. Want me to marry, settle down and get a home and write a book. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Pay phone, something wrong, dime gone, will mail order, sue the operator for telling me a tale. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Been to Vietnam, been a fighting, been to war, army bark, army chow, army clothes, army car. Too much monkey business.
too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
I'm working in the filling station, too many tasks. Wipe the window, check the tires, check the oil, dollar gas.
Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
Blonde hair, good looking, trying to get me hooked. Want me to marry, get a home, and settle down and write a book.
Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business.
Say, I'd like to thank you for spending this hour with me right here on the Jason Kirkman Show, and I'd like to thank all of the stations that do indeed carry the program. There's 88.9 FM KHII out of Cloudcroft, New Mexico, our anchor station. Also 97.5 FM out of Alamogordo, New Mexico, our sister station. The Leading Edge Radio Network based out of Dallas, Texas. Oldies Radio 104.3 WVPV, proud to be first in Ritchie County. That stands for West Virginia's Proud Veterans there in Cairo, West Virginia. Also AM 1290 out of Vancouver, Washington. OldiesRadio88.com and RememberWhenRadio.com. Both of those are out of beautiful Columbia, South Carolina. Out of the beautiful islands, Hawaiian Pacific Radio. And out of Florida, Q-Star Radio. Out of Occidental, California, KOWS Radio 107.3 FM. And out of Clay, West Virginia, WYAP 107.7 FM. Out of San Francisco, California, AM 1700 Radio Richmond. And out of Ringgold, Georgia, AM 520 The Loop and 88.1 WCPR. Also out of beautiful Andrews, North Carolina, there's Andrews Community Radio. And Denver, Colorado, Classic Hits 1630 AM. Out of Dark County, Ohio, Dark Classics Radio. And our European friends and neighbors, The Music Player Yesterday. Out of Great Britain. Thank you all so much for carrying the Jason Kirkman Show. To check out all of the stations that carry the program, go to my website at jasonkirkman.com. That's C-U-R-T-M-A-N. And click on the links in the upper left-hand side of the homepage. Also, while you're there, check out my blog and send me an email. Let me know how much you're enjoying the Jason Kirkman Show.
Well, I was ruling the roost and I had all the chicks to myself. And then suddenly it happened, a funny little feeling I felt. Yeah, I tried to outrun it, but it finally caught up with me. But how could I run from something that I can't see? Oh, that little teeny weeny thing they call the love bug. Nobody's ever seen it, but it's got the whole world shook up. It all started with a little bitty kiss and a hug. It's a little bitty teeny weeny thing they call the love bug. Style. But I lost that race by a good old country mile. Yeah, I was walking all around with my head held way up high. And then it fooled me, hit me, really took me by surprise. Oh, that little bitty teeny weeny thing they call the love bug. Nobody's ever seen it, but it's got the whole world shook up. It all started with a little bitty kiss and a hug. It's a little bitty teeny weeny thing they call the love bug. It's a little bitty teeny weeny thing they call the love bug.
That was George Jones with the Love Bug. Here's Andy Griffith talking about Hamlet.
I went to see a play right here lately. It was one of them classical plays. And it was wrote by a fella named William Shakespeare that lived over here in the old country here a while back. And it's a play, it's called Hamlet. and it was named after this young boy Hamlet that appeared in the play. And it was pretty good, except that they don't speak as good English as we do. Now, let's see, Hamlet, he lived in this castle over in the old country with his mama and daddy. You know where it was that his daddy was king over this land? And also living with him there was a fellow named Claudius. Now, Claudius was Hamlet's uncle on his daddy's side. And before the play ever opened, this fellow Claudius plotted and killed Hamlet's daddy so that he might gain the throne and then married Hamlet's mama. And that made him Hamlet's stepdaddy. And, well, all do try to remember that if you can, because you will need it later on. Now, there was a fellow Polonius. He lived there. He was a kind of advisor to the king. And there was a fellow named Horatio. He was Hamlet's buddy. He lived there. Then there was a girl named Ophelia that was visiting there. She was Hamlet's sweetheart that he had met at BYPU. Well, there's all kinds of maids and soldiers and stable boys and things like that that live there too, you know. And remember, before the play ever opens up, Hamlet's daddy's already dead. And when it opens up, it opens up on these two soldiers that was a standing guard one night, and this ghost come up on them. And one of them says, "Hark." He said, "No, they said hark a whole lot back then." He says, "Hark, what thing is this I see before me?" And the other one says, "Let us flee and seek out young Hamlet, for behold, it bears a visage like unto his father." And it did, too. It looked just exactly like it. You couldn't have took a better picture uptown. They were in the house to get Hamlet, but he had just come in from high school and was tired and had went on to bed. But anyhow, they told him about it, and he got on up and put his britches on and went on outdoors with them. And when he got there, the ghost started talking to him. Says, "Behold, Hamlet, says, look on me, for I am the ghost of thy father." Then it went on to tell him, you know, how it was that Claudius had plotted and killed him, you know, like I told you a while ago. Well, when it got on telling him, it made Hamlet swear to seek out vengeance on his former uncle and present stepdaddy, Claudius. And after Hamlet sweared it, well, the ghost went on off, and none of them ever seen it after that. And it was right there that Hamlet gave that soliloquy about being or not being. Well, for them that don't know, a soliloquy is a kind of a self-talk. You know, it is, where you kindly, you know, sit and look away off and kindly talk to yourself. And that's what he was a-doing. Only he wasn't sitting down, he was walking. And when he come close to the end of it, he come up on this young girl, Ophelia. And he says to himself, he says, "Soft, I see Ophelia fire." Well, he sat down and started talking to her. Asked her how she was and how her daddy was and how her mama was and different ones. And while he was talking, he looked and he seen a fella hiding behind a cedar chest. And he did, and he took out his sword and he run the fella. He run him upstairs and he run him downstairs. But he couldn't catch him, and it made him mad, and he come back to Ophelia, mad at her. And he hit her in the face, and he throwed her on the ground. And he says, "Get thee to a nunnery, for thy face is a vile thing before my eyes." Now, it was right here that Hamlet first started acting like that he wasn't all that. Well, he... See... Well... See, he figured that the people that plotted and killed his daddy thought that he wasn't right in his mind, they'd talk around him, you know? But they didn't. One night, he was up in his mama's room telling her good night, and he looked over there, and he seen these curtains rustle just the least little bit. And he eased out his sword, and he edged over to where it was the curtains was rustling, and he run the fella through. And the fella fell, and he seen it was that fella Polonius that I told you about a while ago. Well, what he done, he picked him up and took him over and throwed him out this little window in this creek that run by, and none of them ever missed him after that. And it was right after that that this carnival come through. Sideshow, show folks, you know. They come through, and Hamlet had them to put on a show exactly the way that the murder of the king was committed. And let me tell you, when they got to the place in the play that the king was killed, Hamlet's stepdaddy got up out of his chair, and he says, "Hold. He says, cease this wild carrying on and evil acting in the palace of the king. And he run them all out of the house. And it was right there that Hamlet first knowed that he was going to have to get even with his stepdaddy for killing his daddy. And it was also right there that Hamlet's stepdaddy knowed that he was going to have to get shut of that boy or he'd have trouble out of it. Well, what he done was the next day he put on a big sword fight between Hamlet and another fella. And he give this other fella a sword with a poison point on it. And he give Hamlet a plain sword, and he had a bowl full of poison wine for Hamlet to drink just in case he won the sword fight. Well, he put up his hands and he says, lay on. And they went to it, Hamlet back the fella, and he fella back Hamlet, and back and forth like that for a while, till pretty soon Hamlet got cut on the arm by that poison sword. And he commenced to weaken, but he fit harder than he ever did, and he kept a backing fella off and a backing him off till he run him through. And the fella fell dead. And Hamlet went over to take a drink of that poison wine, and his mama, she knowed it was poison, she took it and drunk it herself, and she fell dead. And then Hamlet, with his last breath, went up to his stepdaddy and run him through, and stepdaddy fell dead. And then Hamlet, he had done about all he could do, and he fell dead. And it's a pretty good show. And the moral of it is, though, I reckon, if you was to ever kill a fella and then marry his wife, I'd be extra careful not to tell my stepson.
Well, folks, it's time to close up. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Jason Kirkman Show. I'm getting ready to wrap it all up and go out and spend some time with the kids. I'll see you next time on this fantastic station. Here's Willie Nelson, the redheaded stranger, with an old gospel classic, The Unclouded Day. You all have a fantastic week.
Oh, they tell me I'm home far beyond the skies, and they tell me I'm home far away. Oh, they tell me I'm home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me I'm an unclouded day.
If you ever plan on taking a vacation in this part of the country, might I recommend a stop in our beautiful area, southern New Mexico, where you can learn about Billy the Kid, some of America's atomic programs, and our space program. There's a lot to see and do here, I guarantee it. You can check out all there is to see and do in our local areas by visiting www.alamogordo.com, www.cloudcroft.net, and www.newmexico.org. All of these sites are now linked on my homepage at jasonkurtman.com. That's C-U-R-T-M-A-N. The Jason Kurtman Show is underwritten by todaysfullerbrush.com, providing cleaning products for the home and business since 1906. www.todaysfullerbrush.com.